Good to have Will Bowling back in the house doing sports updates. You can get him at the top of every hour. One thing stuck out to me, though, that he talked about.
What's that? Already
Don Davenport, Ron Slay.
Both in the building.
The Predators freaking crapped the bed last night. What in the world happened last night?
Hey, man, that was they ought to be ashamed of themselves. Like, come on, man. Like, we try to ride with you. Well, I ain't going to speak for everybody. I try to ride with you and think, okay, here we go. Let's go. And I have people secretly texting me and telling me, don't you dare. Don't you dare jump on that wagon, because I'm telling you, the wheels are going to fall off. And here we go. Lo and behold, 4-1. That's a win in any sport. That's up 20 in basketball. That's a 3-touchdown lead in football. 4-1? Come on, dog.
We were just talking about this.
You're not lying.
Matt Duchesne used to do the show every week, and we talked about that with him. Like, it's got to be fun. Because I just talked to you about this. It's got to be fun up by, like, 30 with, like, 12 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Playing a basketball game in college basketball. It's got to be fun. You're like, yep.
Yeah, I'm looking for that. Throw it off the glass at any time. I'm Ja Morant all day.
Hockey's completely different. And so, like, Matt Duchesne said, if you're up like 4-1, you're looking to get out of there because the other team knows the game's over, so they just start attacking you.
And they just fall to pieces.
Well, they attacked the goal last night.
They attacked, and there wasn't anybody that fought off or fought back on that attack.
They were in complete control. I left the house to go take Drew to pitching lessons, and they were up 4-1 with like 12 minutes to go.
It was exactly. It was on our TV, and we were like at the kitchen island kind of getting stuff done and getting the baby's stuff ready for daycare for the next day, all of that. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, uh-oh, they scored.
You can't do that.
Dang, they just scored again. Man.
It scored again.
And I was like, what is going on? Dude, so then you like turn it up, you watch, and there's zero leadership from anybody on that team in the third. Zero.
Now,
what are you doing?
There's one of two things that'll happen. One, they can't wait to get back on the ice because they're pissed off at how that all went down and how they let that happen.
Yes. Yes.
Or two, you cave and you're done.
It's over. It's a wrap.
I mean, it's one of those two things.
It sure is. There is no gray area. You either fold the tent and going home or you pitch the tent back up and get the rolling. Like, you can't do that, man. You can't do. You got to have more fight than that, people.
Right after I told you that, I would go Prez.
Yeah! And everybody keeps hitting me every time after something goes wrong. Man, did you go with Brent?
Yeah, I'm 1-2 with you.
Yes, you are. You got a chance to redeem yourself. What should I do tomorrow, Brent?
Well, let's get there first.
Let's make it there. Huh?
Yeah, see, you'll be – this time tomorrow, you'll be with your boy Uncle Tito.
Yep, on the road. Oh, man.
On the road to Knoxville.
I need to know before then because Tito. Uncle Brent, the mayor, and Uncle Tito, and Don won't be there to be my conscience to say don't do it. Going to be trouble.
You can have that little devil on one side and a little angel on the other.
Perhaps you'll be the angel.
Yeah, but
yes, who's the devil?
Problem is, he's got two devils because he'll be lubed up.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
What is the plan for you and Ramon in this mobile boom room you guys have?
The plan is to get up there Friday.
For the orange and white game. You guys are going up
there.
We're
going up for the orange and white game. We got the mobile van ready to locked and ready to roll. Stickers on it. We're ready to bounce. Yeah.
It.
So when you see us on
I-40,
yeah. Toot your horn if you're headed up to Knoxville, and we'll toot the horn back. And once we get up there Friday, we'll be at Calhoun's, eating some good food, mingling with the people, you know. Then Saturday morning, get up, try to do a vlog, take people on a back to school, Rodney Dangerfield type thing, you know, show you the old stomping grounds
you
and things like
that.
Oh, I love that movie. I always reference that. Yeah, so then we go up in the booth and do a little broadcasting. Got Admiral Schofield supposed to slide through, Bobby Mays, Jordan Bowden. So I'm doing my part on the basketball. Let me see what Ramon can pull off. Or do I need to pick up the phone?
I think it's all you.
I'm putting the heat on my boy.
1 to 2:45 Central at Neyland Stadium is what I've been told that you guys will be on the air prior to the orange and white game. So that'll be a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, it should be.
The Hill.
Great to! I can't wait to get back, man. I haven't been up to the Hill in at least 2 years. So,
All right, so if you see the boom, the mobile boom boom room on the road.
And the J. Martin Ramon, we got both of them. It's a combined effort on this one.
So who all's in the van? You three?
Me, Moan, Shafe, and Shafe's hopefully J. Mart.
Mm-hmm. J. Mart just had a baby. You trying to get some friction going between him and his
pull
wife?
Pull him away. Pull him away.
So does Ramon, you said honk and we'll honk back. Does Ramon have some special honk, like let the bass go?
Nah, he should, but I should be able to control it from the back, so I'll probably turn the music up real loud to let the boom, boom room happen.
I love it. 104.5 The Zone 2021 NFL Draft coverage presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Listen to 104.5 The Zone for the latest news and the best coverage of the NFL draft. 104.5 The Zone's draft coverage, again, presented by Two Rivers Ford. Two Rivers Ford, powered by Ford, driven by people. Mock draft. I love mock drafts. So just punch me in the face if you disagree. That's fine. But I'm entertained by sports. I don't view sports and look at it as something to bitch about. So I like things in sport. I like mock drafts. Bring them. So Todd McShay and Mel Kiper did this thing where they picked every other player, but they did three rounds. So this is creative in my view. Todd McShay now has the Titans taking with pick number 22 in the NFL draft. Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore.
Really? I'm telling you, I told you, I looked back at last year's, and there was a whole lot of Isaiah Wilson late coming out on the late mock drafts. A whole lot of, and they were right. And that was not the case on a lot of the earlier drafts, mock drafts.
I specifically remember seeing Isaiah Wilson to the Titans and going, they're not going offensive linemen.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And then they did.
Boy, they did. Spectacularly.
Boy, don't you wish we could go back in time. I know John Robinson wishes he could go back in time on that one.
By the way, John Robinson on the show Monday at 5:00.
Hey. Love it. When I went back and looked at kind of the, 2 days, 3 days prior to the actual draft, mock drafts, and saw a whole lot of Wilson kind of speckled in some of those mock drafts, I thought, maybe those 2-3 day out mock drafts are what you need to pay attention to, at least for the Titans.
Mel Kiper has the Titans taking in the second round Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes, who ran a 4.25.
Isn't he about to be on our show?
He's going
to
be on our show at 5
o'clock. You got him.
Eric Stokes at 5 o'clock. Mel Kiper has him going.
In the second round, which is actually pretty high for what I've seen him mocked, right? Well, he's kind of all over the place.
He's all over the place. I talked with his camp, and they say, through talking to people, that they think he could go anywhere from like 20 to 22 to the second round. So
isn't that bizarre? It's a wide range. I feel like there's so much more of a wide range of where players are following this year. And that's probably a product of shortened season, shortened accessibility during the college season as well because of COVID. Some opt-outs, not as much access when it comes to pro days, no combine, no in-person visits. I'm sure it's a product of all of that, but I really feel like you've got players like Eric Stokes that are just all, even Elijah Moore. I mean, I remember a month ago, Elijah Moore was a day two guy, period.
Yep.
Now you see him all over mock drafts going to the Titans at 22, honestly. So which one are you reading right now? Are you on Kiper?
They did it combined. Okay. So Todd McShay did the first round pick. He has Elijah Moore, Mel Kiper, Georgia cornerback Eric Stokes in the second round, and Mel Kiper had the Titans in the third round with Penn State tight end Pat Freiermuth. So he actually lined up in the slot a lot. So he's that athletic tight end that they're going to be looking for. Dane on YouTube, watching the show on YouTube, said Eric Stokes can play anywhere. Dylan says, if Slay is available at 22, we take him.
Hey!
What can Slay not do?
You better tell him.
Would you wear a single number?
I'm more of an 88 guy. I would say, though, right behind 22 with Elijah Moore is Don's guy. Greg Newsom.
Yep. At 23.
At 23. Corner. To the New York Jets. Yep. So would you?
I'd go him.
Be opposed to taking him in the first round.
I love Elijah Moore, but yeah.
I'm gonna stay on that Kadarius Toney train. I just think when you get a guy as dynamic as him, yeah. If that's a good question, that's a good point.
I think he will be, but I
think so. Mm-hmm.
I mean, as Don said, there's such a range with some of these guys. Right.
Hey, that's another one.
Let's bring in an expert and talk about all of this stuff next. Greg Cosell, NFL Films, joins us next. He's the best. Stay tuned. Let's go to Greg Cosell, the best in the business. Greg, you ready for this thing, man?
I am ready. Always ready.
You're already looking at tape for next year's draft, potential player?
For the next year's draft, 2022?
Yeah, you've already moved on.
No. And I'm still grinding away, you know. I'm trying to hit the magic 200 that I've seen, you know, at least 200 players. So I'm working. That's my goal. I'm working toward that. You know, it's good to have a goal.
Definitely. Let's jump right in, man. And we're trying to target potential Titans prospects, guys that might fall in the draft maybe to 22. I know you don't get into all that, but just want to hit you with some guys that might end up in Nashville. And I want to start with Caleb Farley, one of the more talented quarterbacks, I think, in the draft from Virginia Tech. But having the back issue, what do you think about him?
I haven't seen him play in like a year. Greg had to go back and pull some old tape.
What do you think about his tape?
I love his tape. You have to remember one thing, too, that he has very limited experience playing corner. He was a high school quarterback, so he's not played a lot of games and a lot of snaps at corner. But he's a powerful, explosive mover. He's a terrific athlete. I thought because he does not have a lot of experience playing corner that he was better in press man than he was playing off-coverage zone, where there's a lot more to dissect and digest and understand. But I've also heard from doctors that there's a concern. He's had two back surgeries. The feeling is that he'll likely have to have another one. Now, when that occurs, no one can answer that. Maybe it happens in 2 years. Maybe it happens in 8 years. But that there is a definite concern about the back.
Another cornerback, Asante Samuel. What do you think about him? Maybe a second-round guy.
Yeah, Asante Samuel is going to be a very interesting litmus test, a very interesting evaluation for NFL teams. He was very, very good playing on the outside at Florida State. Okay. Really played what we call mirror match press man, and what that means is you play press, but you don't put your hands on the receiver. You wait till he declares his route, and then you basically get in his hip pocket. That's mirror match press man. He was very, very good at that, very smooth athlete, but he's 5'10", 180 pounds. So I think that will be a discussion in draft meetings as to whether he's an outside corner at the NFL level, where he'll be facing receivers who are 3-4 inches taller and maybe 30-40 pounds heavier, depending on who they are. So some might see him as a slot corner. That will be in the eye of the beholder and the team and the organization. But he's a very good prospect in terms of his traits and his skill set.
Because we just kind of hit on the conversation of weight and size and all of that. And
I resemble that remark, Dawn. Are you talking about my weight again? Come on. You know, I'm trying to eat, right? Come on.
I tell you who probably has a mental block with the weight now is Devontae Smith, because everybody's talking about his weight. But since we've talked to you last, we have now heard kind of the official number for him, weight-wise, which is at 166, which I thought was super light. But I just want to go back to his tape with that kind of weigh-in. How much do you see his weight with what he does on the field, how much do you see that affecting him at the next level?
Hard to know for sure, but just like I spoke about Asante Samuel, that will be discussed in draft meetings. Because that makes him an exception and an outlier. Now, it's very easy to look at his tape, which is very, very good. He's got really good traits as a wide receiver, and he lined up both outside. He lined up in the slot. They moved him around. Clearly, he played at the highest level of college football and played at that highest level at a high level himself. So it's easy to say it's not a factor and doesn't mean anything, but you can't just say that as if it's a mathematical equation when a player is an exception and an outlier like that. So I am so curious, Don, about how this plays out, because he's very, very good, no question. But 166 pounds is extremely light. I think if you love the player based on his tape, I think you have to see him as a player that lines up. The phrase we would use is off the ball, meaning that he does not line up right on the line of scrimmage. The X receiver lines up right on the line of scrimmage. Like A.J. Brown is the X receiver. He lined up right on the line of scrimmage. Corey Davis was the Z. He was off the ball and was used in motion a lot. To me, Devontae Smith would have to be an off-the-ball Z receiver who you would use in motion quite a bit, because you want to get him free access off the line of scrimmage so he could build up that stride length. He's a linear strider.
Greg, I'm sold on Kadarius Toney at 22, but tell me what he can't do, because I know what he can do, and I saw him in Florida do a lot of things in motion, catching in handoffs, right, quick passes, whatever it may be. Tell me what he can't do to take my sale away from me, Greg. Do that for me.
I don't know, Ryan. You think he can jam a basketball at 5'11"?
I honestly
Probably.
You know, I don't know if he's the kind of player that can't do. He's a certain kind of player, and I think he's very, very good at it. And I think if you understand what he is, he's another guy that there's a lot of these receivers now in the NFL, and I think coming into the NFL in this draft, and I think it's the Tyreek Hill model. I don't think he's Tyreek Hill, but I think receivers that you move around, you line them up in different spots. Toney lined up in the backfield at times. He'll do that in the NFL. He's got dynamic lateral quickness. He was great running routes where he stopped and started. Those kind of slot routes, the pivot routes, the option routes, the juke routes. He was really, really good at those. I thought he was tough. I thought he was competitive. I thought he got improved as the year went on in terms of his vertical route running, because he can run. He's got good speed. Don't forget, he's another guy that made the transition to receiver in college. He was a high school quarterback in Mobile, Alabama, and this was the first year that he really played receiver full time. So I think he's an ascending player, Ron. I'm not sure, as I said, that he can't do. It just might be a little bit of a process for him, because he's a full-time receiver for 1 year, and now you'll expect him to step into the league and be great, and it might not happen right away.
Right.
Greg Cosell with us on 3HL. Another guy, maybe similar skill set, that we're starting to see people mock to the Titans at 22, Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I loved his tape. I mean, with all due respect to Ron, I kind of like Elijah Moore more than Kadarius Toney. I hope you still like me after I said that.
I got you. It's all right.
I mean, I just, again, it's you know, everybody who watches tape, obviously you have personal feelings when you watch a guy, and you just, it's how the tape hits you. And I really liked Elijah Moore. He played predominantly in the slot, but he played in multiple locations, including in the backfield at Ole Miss. So he's another guy that you can line up all over the formation, and I think that's become the way the league is moving. I thought he was really – he showed route running and separation quickness. I thought he was he showed vertical burst and speed, really good hands. He was very tough and competitive at the catch point. I thought he played through contact really well. And when you play inside – and he will line up inside at times, obviously maybe the higher percentage of the time, you must be able to play through contact. And I thought he was really physically tough run after catch. I really liked Elijah Moore's tape. And again, you know, 5'9.5", 178. But those players now are being used in a way in which they have tremendous value in the NFL.
Greg, I want to go back to a cornerback. We're going to have this guy on the show here in about 30 minutes, so I want to get your take on Eric Stokes.
Say nice things then, huh?
Well, the ultra.
We won't tell him if you don't. Don't worry.
The ultra.
Right, he might be listening, you know.
Ultra fast corner from Georgia. What do you think?
Yeah,
he ran a 4.28 40. That I guess that would be considered pretty fast.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a kid that's long. He's athletic. He's a thin-framed kid. Is that a concern? Possibly. Again, when I say this, all these things that I'm talking about, if I mention a concern based on tape, all these things are being discussed in draft rooms. These are not knocks on players. This is what teams are doing. They look at the tape. They do their due diligence. They can do far more than I can do, obviously. But there are discussions to have in draft rooms. He certainly does not lack competitiveness. I thought he was a really good mirror match press man corner. He's a little bit slightly built. Again, a discussion. I wouldn't say he plays a strong game. I don't know if you would reflexively say he should move into the slot. I think that he certainly can play on the outside with his man-to-man coverage traits. Keep in mind that Denzel Ward was, I believe, the fourth player chosen in the draft when he came out of Ohio State in 2018. And I think Stokes, who actually weighs more than Denzel Ward, but I think you might see a meaningful comparison made there. Now, Stokes won't go in the top five in the draft, but he does have very good, sticky, mirror-match press-man traits, and that's always in demand in the league. And for those who look at measurables, and believe me, many teams do, he certainly has those.
Greg Cosell with us. Greg, I am heading to Austin to work the University of Texas spring game this weekend.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, so a lot of the talk is, okay, who and how are they going to replace Joseph Osai? So I know we haven't talked to you about him, but his name kind of popping up as possibilities there at some point for the Titans. What do you see in his tape, and what does he do well?
You know, I struggled a bit with his tape, Dawn, if I'm being honest. I mean, first of all, you love the way the guy plays. The guy's going to get coaches excited. This guy played with such relentless competitiveness and energy and urgency. I mean, you just got excited watching him. I think he needs work. I think that he's not a refined pass rusher at this point, which is okay. He's coming into the league as a rookie. I thought he flashed some edge pass rush traits on singular plays, but I think he needs a lot more refinement and development. You know, in some ways, he made me think of Bud Dupree. And I didn't say Bud Dupree just because he's now a Titan. Bud Dupree came into the NFL from Kentucky. He was not used primarily as a pass rusher in college. He played a lot off the ball in coverage. He needed a lot of refinement as a pass rusher, and it took him some time. Joseph Osai might be, Dawn, in that same situation. He struggled a bit at times as a pass rusher when you watch the tape. So I think there's a lot there. Just you love the player. I just don't know if he's ready to go week one in this league as a pass rusher.
I'm going to go inside. Tell me about Christian Barmore from Alabama.
Yeah, Christian Barmore is really good. You know, he kind of reminded me, if I'll just throw this out, you'll get a feel. He kind of reminded me when I finished watching his tape of Chris Jones coming out of Mississippi State. And we know what Chris Jones has become in the league, but we also know that he was a second-round pick. But Barmore played different positions along Alabama's fronts. The league has moved in that direction with multiple front looks with a lot of teams. So he fits that. I thought his game was built more on power and heavy hands, but he has quickness. So, you know, I think you're dealing with a guy that has, showed explosive quickness off the ball at times, strong hands, power. He's got a very sturdy frame. I liked Barmore as a player quite a bit. You know, I could see a guy like that, and again, I'm not good at this, but I could see, and again, I don't know anything about the off the field or other issues. Yeah. Let's assume he's a clean player, which I don't know, but let's assume he is. To me, he's a top 15, top 20 kind of player in this draft.
Ron Slay's distracted over here. The Gator Pro Day is going on, and
Trask is throwing behind Pitts. How can you not throw in his radius?
How do you throw behind Pitts
exactly.
when his arms are about 100 yards long?
Exactly,
seriously,
Greg.
With no defense.
Like, right, that's wow, right. He's killing himself.
But Trask is a guy you aren't in love with necessarily.
Right, we know that.
No, I'm not. Because, I mean, again, when you know, it's funny. You know this, guys, because you talk every day. So, you know, you have to say things every day. When I say, when you say I'm not in love with him, it's a function of his tape. You know, I don't know Kyle Trask. None of this is personal. I think that Trask has arm strength limitations. I think he has, at times, a lack of composure and poise in the pocket when the pocket gets a little muddied and noisy. We know that he doesn't have any second reaction ability. These are all issues for Trask as you transition him to the NFL. He's not a big-armed kid. You know, I think people get that sense because he is a physically imposing guy. I mean, he's got a physical presence to him. He's 6'5", 236. But he has a tendency to throw over his front foot. And when you throw over your front foot, you lose velocity. So he is not a big-armed thrower.
Greg, looking at it, since we're talking about tight ends, let's get away from Trask. Todd Downing is a tight ends coach last year, moving an offensive coordinator.
Yes.
That's a glaring spot for the Titans. Who is on the radar for the Titans in the latter rounds to kind of go and get a tight end, maybe, and bring him in and be able to groom him into that spot, you know, without using a high pick on him?
Well, then it comes down to what you're looking for at the position. I mean, you know, obviously, I don't think they're going to take a tight end at 22, but who knows? You know, again, you never know these things. It all depends on what you're looking for because, to me, very often tight ends can become a function of targets. Like Jonnu Smith, who's obviously gone, I thought Jonnu Smith was a top five tight end in the league in terms of talent and traits, but he wasn't used that way in terms of targets. You know, who knows? Maybe he goes to the Patriots and he gets 120 targets.
That's definitely happening. Yeah. You know that.
Well, I mean, that is happening or not happening?
I said yes. That, you know, that's happening.
Oh. Well, they signed the other free agent tight end too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so you have someone like Brevin Jordan out of the University of Miami, who's not as big as you might like if you're looking for a blocker, but they might not be looking for a blocker. They might be looking for a receiver. And he's, to me, he's a very, very good receiver, Brevin Jordan. Has some explosive traits as a receiver. Outstanding run after catch. So if you're looking for that kind of tight end, there's Brevin Jordan. If you're looking for kind of a more complete tight end who's not as explosive, Hunter Long out of Boston College, I think, is a really good prospect. And I think that he becomes a function of team and scheme. I think if Hunter Long went to a team where they really featured the tight end and he had 90 targets, he'd catch 65 balls. If he went to a team that didn't feature the tight end and he caught 30 balls, he'd be the exact same guy. It's just becomes a function of team and scheme.
What do you think about Freiermuth from Penn State, Greg?
I like Freiermuth. I think he's you know, again, we know that Pitts is Pitts. I mean, to me, Pitts is the best player prospect. I should use the word prospect. I think he's the best prospect in the draft. But Freiermuth is a good player. He's got size. He's got route running. He's got hands. He's got competitiveness. I think that his blocking improved. He wasn't a great blocker. I think that's improved. He'll transition to the NFL very effectively. He has the look and feel of a complete tight end who will play 10 years and be a good player. You know, the player he kind of reminded me of, for those who remember, kind of reminded me of Heath Miller, who played 11 years with the Steelers, finished with almost 600 catches, kind of a complete guy, you know, maybe never an all-pro superstar, but just a really good player. That's the way I kind of see Freiermuth.
Greg, love it, man. This time next week, we'll be up against it. Really appreciate the time, my friend.
That's right. It's next week is the draft.
That's it.
Wow.
Then all right, maybe we can pull you out of the film room for
we'll,
a little bit.
We'll see if we can. Well, Dawn, we'll see if we can fool him again next week.
Sounds good. I like
love it.
It,
Greg. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Greg Cosell, best in the business. Man, love that guy. When we come back, Michigan quarterback Joe Milton, everybody had going to Tennessee. Not so fast.
What
got a new story for you on 104.5 The Zone. Derek Stokes coming up at 5 o'clock. Georgia cornerback. You heard Greg Cosell, 4-2-8.
Speed. Speed kills. Hey, how many,
so
like,
clean,
really quick 40 times did we have this year with no combine, just a bunch of pro days to grab those 40?
Yeah, you think Eric Stokes would be like, well, I'm really probably not a 4-2-8 guy. I'm probably more like a 4-3-4 guy. You think he'll say that?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a big difference, too.
I mean,
fast is fast,
right?
Exactly.
Who's the fastest guy you ever saw on a basketball floor with the ball in his hand?
Oh.
Do do you think?
Tony Harris. Tony Harris, yeah. Man. This man.
I remember.
But gosh. See, but there's fast and then there's quick. Mm-hmm. Yep. Right? There's a, and especially on the basketball court, that's totally different.
He was quick.
Tony was quick.
He was a phone booth guy. Like, he could get around you in a phone booth.
Yeah. We played Florida at home. It was like 4 seconds left. Tony Harris got the ball on the inbounds, took three dribbles, and got down the court to do a left-hand floater layup to take us to overtime for that game. No, to win that game. So this man is super fast and quick all at the same time. Now, you're right about that, Don. You very seldom find people that are quick and fast. But when you see fast, you know fast.
Like Jordan Bone was fast, but he was more of a glider.
There
you
go.
What I mean?
Yep. He used that long stride. Yep. I'm going to tell you another guy that
he
I had
opportunity. He hit you on the hip, and then he would just glide.
Exactly.
Down the court.
Exactly. Watching, I used to go to Tennessee Relays all the time because, you know, you support all the
Tom Black track
programs. You better know it. Watching Justin, now I didn't get to see Christian Coleman, but watching Justin Gatlin run.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. That fast right there was different because it looked like he was floating. Where's his legs?
I mean, seriously, guys that are that skilled and are that fast, like the upper part of their body
doesn't move.
It's not moving.
It's amazing to see, man. Like I was literally sitting there in the stands with my jaw dropped watching Justin Gatlin run. That was amazing, man. And then he tried to get out there and play football. I know you asked me about playing football. Some people it's just not for.
Yeah.
Tennessee
had a point guard before you named Orlando Berry, and he was a junior college guy, and he came in. And I remember he's the fastest guy I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And Kentucky tried to press him, and they were like a 15-point favorite or whatever. They tried to press him. Like the first time they did it, he motioned for everybody to go up the floor. Yeah. He's standing down there by himself against like a 1-2-2 press.
Yeah.
And he just dribbled through everybody all the time. Like, they couldn't stop, so they called the press off because he beat the brakes off him.
And that's something you're supposed – a press, you're supposed to pass the ball over a press. Not,
like, I got
not
it.
Dribble through a press.
I got it.
That's. I hate this right here because I keep on having to
– I can't see you. Like, yeah, that's an in-room problem. All right, Eric Stokes coming up, so we'll talk with him. Tennessee quarterback – like, so the story came out a few days ago that Joe Milton from Michigan
– mm-hmm.
quarterback was going to go to Tennessee. Like, done deal. So right. That would be five quarterbacks in the quarterback room.
Competition, baby.
Yeah.
Bring it.
Or one or two are going to move on.
Right.
Is ultimately what will happen. Between the spring and fall camp. Well, now Michigan quarterback Joe Milton told Chris Hayes with the Orlando Sentinel that he has not made a final decision and will choose between Tennessee and Washington State this weekend.
What? Okay.
Here's what I wonder about this, just having done this as long as we have. I'm wondering if he is going to Tennessee, but the story got out before he wanted the story to get out. So he dials it back in, mm-hmm. and ultimately he's going to go to Tennessee. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is a difference maker kind of guy personally, but
right.
You want depth. Heck am I?
Yeah, and you want depth. I'll tell you what, we'll be a lot C20. Yeah, I'll be a lot C20. So you stop by the Boom Boom Mobile van. And I'll make sure you get there, Joe Milton. I'm going to show you a good time right there in the parking lot, buddy.
I don't think Joe Milton's allowed to go to the Boom Boom Room, man.
No. Yeah, we
won't
let him in.
That might be frowned upon.
The door be locked.
Yeah.
I mean, hey.
That might be a recruiting violation.
Yeah, good thing I'm not affiliated. Am I?
I don't know about that. Also, this college basketball story – Kentucky assistant Tony Barbee is expected to become Central Michigan's next head coach.
Mm.
Barbee was head coach at UTEP and Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
Also, Joel Justice has left that staff as well. So, Cal had a tough year. Now he's replacing some assistants. And we'll see what's happening.
Oof. His assistants do a lot.
Are you saying that Cal might be a figurehead type of guy?
No, I'm definitely... honestly, not saying that he's a figurehead kind of guy. I'm just saying he puts a lot on his assistants. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure every staff does, but.
Yeah.
I mean, he's involved.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. There's no figurehead there. He is all up in that. He is very involved.
All right. With that, we'll take a break. And we'll come back. We'll talk with Eric Stokes, Georgia cornerback. He's been mocked to the Titans in a couple of different mocks. That's next. 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.